Okay, Boker Tov, everybody. Shavua Tov. Welcome back to our Shmir Salashim class learning. I hope everybody is well and enjoying an uplifting and meaningful 2 weeks of positive speech. So, as always, we are learning Lezechon Lilui Nishmasam Tzvi Gershon Ben Yovachana Lavasham. May the Neshama merit as Chus Aliyah and Zechira Latova in the merit of the Divrei Torah that we will share. And also Chus Aliyah and Zechira Neshama for Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya. Alav Hashem, may the Neshama merit an Aliyah L'Tova, and with your permission for continued refuah for Bracha V'Gaya Basracha Gita, B'Soch Sh'archodei Yisrael. So I'll just tell you an interesting ma'aseh before we get to our learning, which we're going to get into right away. I was last night, I don't know if anyone attended the Darchi dinner. It was really amazing. What a Kiddush Hashem, oh my gosh. It was incredible, really incredible. But someone made a comment to me at the Darchi dinner that was like, you know, you're not supposed to say anything good about something because it could lead to something negative, yeah? I could only see one person right now, so that person, yeah? Yeah? Obviously, you're the only person I could see right now. So the halacha is, you have to be careful not to say anything positive because it could lead to something negative. So I said something totally positive. And the person I was speaking to made a negative comment back about something related. And I was, like, very taken aback because it was so out of left field. I was so shocked. So I was very taken aback. So I wasn't sure even what to say. And then I went to use the facilities. I came back to the table and I thought, and I said, you know, I don't agree with you. I corrected the statement. I didn't want it to be like shtika kol da. And I pointed out why I felt that that negative statement, obviously I'm not giving any details. I felt the negative statement was incorrect. And I stated in a positive light and I spoke positively about the situation. And at the end they said, I agree with you. But my point is that Lamaisa, I really made a very positive complimentary comment about the situation. And the response was something negative about something else related. And I was so shocked. And it shows you how careful you have to be. And I was complimenting, I was saying what a Kiddush Hashem the dinner is, how beautiful it is, the Kavara Torah. And the person made a negative comment about something else in comparison that was really uncalled for. So I did correct it, and I did come back, and I said, nicely, I really don't agree with you. I don't think it was appropriate, and this is why. But how amazing these are in Yanim that affect us all the time, and that really crop up when you least expect it, and in venues where you might even not even anticipate it, and how really careful we have to be with all our Inyani Shmur Salash, and the Baruch Hashem should just give us the Siyata Deshmaya, and everything we say and everything we hear should be yashar and kasher, like Rav Shem Shafal Hirsch used to say. Let's go to the Tefillah Dibur. Ribbono shel Olam, Yiratzon Lefanecha, Rachum V'Nechanun, Shetezakenu Ha'ima V'Chol Yom Lishmor Piyu Lashoni V'Lashon Hara Rechilus, V'Ezarim L'Daber M'Lidaber Afilu Al Yish Yachi, V'Kol Shekein HaKlai Yisrael O Chelek Mehem, V'Kol Shekein Misurim Amidosav Shel Kosh Baruch Hu, V'Ezarim L'Daber Dibri Sheker, Chanufa, Mechlokas, Ka'as Gaiva, Orna As Dvarim, Albanes Panim, V'Yitzanus, V'chol dibur asur, v'zakeni shilo v'dabar kim davar hatzarich, v'inyani gufi v'nafshi v'yu kol ma'asai v'diburai v'shem shemayim amen v'amen. So I'll tell you something that amazing that I have to follow up with you. I realized that we meet every other week. 2 weeks ago after Shir, after what we spoke about, later in the day or even that morning, I realized an unbelievable connection to prove the thesis of what we spoke about in Shir, and I actually did reach out and share it with our sponsor, who wants to remain so anonymous, she doesn't even want me to thank her in the beginning of Shir, so I'm not. But I did reach out to her, and I said, I can't believe this. I only thought of it after Shir, but it ties in exactly to what we spoke about, and I must share it with all of you, I have to tell you. So if you remember last time, we spoke about, we proposed that the pasuk says, Vayave Yosef dibasem ra'a el havihem. Yosef spoke Lashon Hara about the brothers to father. And also by the Meragim, when they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, the same word is used in Parsha Shlach, Vayitziu dibas ha'aretz asher taru esau. So the word used for Lashon Hara in these contexts, it's an unusual word, is diba. And we proposed last time that perhaps the two-letter, not perhaps, that you could see it. The two-letter root of Diba is Dov, a bear. So just like Lashon Hara tears people apart, and we propose that because Yosef spoke Dibasam Ra'ah al Avihem, he was like a bear who tore apart, that's what Lashon Hara does. Therefore, Mida Keneged Mida, a bear was torn upon him, was set upon him, And that's why Yaakov says, Tarof taraf b'ni chaya ra achlasuhu. My son has been torn to shreds, a wild animal ate him. When a person unleashes the power of Lashon Hara against somebody else, it's like a dove that claws its prey, that tears apart its prey. Mida kenegan mida, rachmana letzad, and they may be torn apart. But midash adam modi modi lo. So I can't believe it, because I had to wait 2 weeks to tell you this. Baruch Hashem, ma'ashachiyan v'kiman v'kiyan ezman hazeh. I'm going to screen share with you. Okay, I realized it too last week after Shir. And I couldn't believe I didn't realize it in time, but that's Hashem didn't want me to realize it in time. Okay, so you see I'm in paraglamid test. I can't really see anybody. I can see one person. Yeah, okay, fine. Thank you very much. So we're going to do this very fast. Okay, I just want to show you. This is so gewaldic. I was like so excited. Okay, so Yosef is brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the chamberlain of Paro, the chief executioner, the Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelim, who brought him down there. And Hashem was with Yosef. He was a successful man in the house of his master, and the master sees Hashem is with him. Rashi, Shem, Shemayim, Shur, Gubafiv, everything he does is successful, and Yosef found favor in his eyes, and he served him, and he appoints him over the house, and everything in his house he gives him. There's only one thing that he doesn't give him. She says you could see kimalachem who ishto. Okay, Alasha Dibur Balash Nikia. Also, ha, I wasn't even planning to point that out. A lesson in clean speech, a lesson in Shmir Salashan. Why doesn't the Torah just say that everything was in Yosef's hands except for Potiphar's wife? Why lechem? Because just like lechem physically sustains, so a wife sustains her husband. But the Torah speaks with Lashon Nekia. Okay, another lesson in Shmir Salashan, how careful you have to be, that our speech should be refined, that our speech should be careful and refined. V'hi Yosef yifei toar v'yifei mara. Yosef was a beautiful appearance and of handsome form. That's art school. It says handsome form and handsome appearance. Now you must look at Rashi. Okay, wait, but right after that, after you're told, Vayhi Yosef yifei tar v'yifei mara, Vayhi achar dvar ma'ela v'tisa eishas adonav esenar el Yosef. It was after these things, and his master's wife casts her eyes upon Yosef, and she says, lay with me. And every day she says, lay with me, every single day, till finally she tries to absolutely seduce him. He ends up being thrown in jail. But it's a big nisayon for him. The Gemara tells us in Sota Lamed Vav that Yosef really wanted to be with her. So it was a tzaddik because he overcame. It wasn't a tzaddik because he didn't want to be with her. That's not tzaddik, because if he didn't want to be with her, he didn't have a yetzer hara to be with her. So, okay. No, he had a yetzer hara to be with her. It was a very strong yetzer hara. As per the Gemara Sota Lamed Vav, Yaakov refers to him in Birkas Yaakov when he gives the bracha to Yosef as well with the interpretation of Rashi there. He did want to be with her and he was able to run outside. So this was a very big nisayon for Yosef. Why did it come upon him? So you have to see this. Yosef This is Lamed Tes Vav in Bereishis. Okay. So the first Rashi also tells us, actually, the first thing in Rashi that we see here also teaches us a lesson in Shmir Salashan. Ki'im ha'lacham asher hu ochal. The Torah wants to speak nicely. Lashon Nekiya. A person should not use crass, demeaning, degenerate, low speech. You should always speak cleanly. And therefore the Torah calls his wife his bread. Okay. Vayhi Yosef yifei tar. You have to see. It's unbelievable. I mamash realized this 2 weeks ago, Monday morning, and I was really, wow. Vayhi Yosef yifei tar v'yifei mara. Look at Rashi on the other side of the screen. Kevan shara atzmo Moshe. Since he saw himself starting to rule, he realized he's getting some power, and Potiphar likes him, and he points him over his household. So he starts to feel those stirrings of power. Kevan shara atzmo Moshe. Saw himself starting to rule. Hischil ochal v'shoseh u'masalso b'sarom. He's not mourning so much that he's not in Canaan. He's enjoying his food and his drink, and he's curling his hair. He's enjoying himself. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, his father said, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Avicha mis Abel, your father's in mourning, ki ered al bani Abel she'ola, v'ayim ha'en li hisnachim, your father's sitting in mourning, v'ata misalso b'sarecha, you're curling your hair, ani migara v'cha es hadov. I will bring upon you the bear. Miyad, vayhi achar dvarim ha'ela v'tisa eishes adonav esei neha. If you weren't sure last time, you could go into Ayu Torah and listen. It's called, if you see a bear, say Shema Yisrael. We proposed last time that what is this strange word for Lashon Hara? Diba Ra. See, by Yosef and the brothers, we see by the Maraglim, and we said when you look at the word Lashon HaKodesh, the two-letter root of Diba is Dov, bear. Just like a bear tears apart its prey with its claws, with its sharp teeth, the salmon in the river, whatever it finds that it wants. See, the bear's not doing anything wrong. By the way, the bear's a bear. It's doing what it's supposed to be doing. When a person acts in that fashion with poisonous words, with slanderous words, we are tearing, we're clawing, we're ripping apart somebody else. In fact, Lashon Hara kills three. We've learned that in Erech in multiple times. It kills the speaker, the listener, and the subject. You're tearing apart. Therefore, we propose, since he brought Diba Ra, he was torn to shreds, Tarof, Tarof, Bani, Mita, Kenega, Mita. And here we have a raya for what we proposed. It's unbelievable. I mean, I put it on the screen on purpose. I just want to tell it to you. I want you to actually see. And Rashi, by the way, is quoting Medrash Bereishis Rava. So he starts to, feel stirrings of power. Oh, wow, I'm a Moshe. My dreams are coming true. He's eating, he's drinking, he's fixing his hair. Kol Shbarach says, your father's sitting in mourning because of what happened. And you're fixing your hair, I am going to immediately thereupon, I will provoke, the translation of Art Scroll, I will provoke the bear as Hadov against you. And then, therefore, Miyad, the very next pasuk, was after these things, and the master's wife lifted her eyes against Yosef. So you see clearly, I mean, here you have a raya. Diba Ra'a leads to the dove coming against you. It's purely Mida Kanega Mida. You spoke like a dove. Your words tore somebody else apart with Lashon Hara. That's what we should all remember. Shabbat Shalom says, don't be so overconfident when you speak Lashon Hara to think you're safe. You tore somebody else apart. You acted like a bear to claw at your prey. A bear, Rachman HaLatzan, will come against you to tear at you. So I thought that this was just a gevaldik, a Baruch Hashem, Haskama, if you will, to what I propose asking, meaning of all the animals that the man just chooses, it's the dove, it could be the Aryeh came against him, it could be the Za'ev came against him. I mean, a lion is dangerous, a wolf is also dangerous. You understand what I'm saying? It's not an accent. I always stress all the time that nothing, none of the nuances in Torah Shabbat Chav or Torah Shabbat Peh are an accent. He spoke Diba Ra'a, Ani Megar Becha Es HaDov. I can't make it up. The Shorash of both is Dalet Beis. A bear tears apart its prey. It's a clawing animal. It is a predator that preys upon others. Okay, so if you prey upon others with your Lashon Hara, Mida Kenega Mida, B'Mida Shadim Bodev, the bear will tear upon you as well. So that's one thing. I've been waiting 2 weeks to share it. Baruch Hashem, I hope you are amazed at it by I was, because it really reminds us of how incredible, mamish incredible Torah is. It was worth being at the dinner last night. It was very far. It was in Bellworks in Haltmill, New Jersey. I don't know if anyone here was there. And it was, a far trip, and it was Baruch Hashem a long evening, but it was worth going. It was mamish worth going for many reasons, but it was worth being there to see when Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita and when Rav Ruvain Feinstein Shlita, when they entered into the event, into the dinner, to just be there to see how we revere our Gedolei Yisrael, our Rabbanim, our living Sifrei Torah. It was beyond moving. It was beyond incredible. So the Gemara says you have a fool who stands. I don't know where it is, but the Gemara says you have a fool who rises for a Sefer Torah, but doesn't rise for a Talmud Chacham. Sefer Torah is the scroll, but a Talmud Chacham is a living Sefer Torah. And we see how Gevaldik Torah is. How the Ribbono Shel Olam puts all nuances, all of our life, every lesson in Torah. If you speak Diba Ra, you act like a dove. Mida Kenega Mida, the dove came against Yosef. It's just a reminder of how absolutely amazing Torah is. Okay, and the next thing I want to show you that I've been waiting actually 3 classes to get to. Today I'm getting to it. 1 second. I have to go to the next screen show that I prepared for you. Okay, we're going back. This is absolutely amazing also. So in this case, the first case, Ashina is compared to a dove. A wild animal, a dove. We're going to see now what else Lashon Hara is compared to. And I thought it was interesting that it's taken me 3 classes, which is 6 weeks, to get to this Kliyakar, because Hashem arranged it perfectly. The Kliyakar also references Yetzias Mitzrayim. So now we're in Parshas Va'era. Last week was Shmos Va'era. And we start to learn about the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the timing couldn't be better. Okay. So Va'yeshev Yaakov Beretz Megurei Aviv Beretz Canaan. Yaakov dwelled in the land of his father's sojourns in the land of Canaan. These are the offspring of Yaakov. Yosef was 17 years old. He was a shepherd with his brothers with the flocks. He was a na'ar with the b'nei Bilhah, b'nei Zilpah, the wives of his father. Vayava Yosef as the basam ra'ah, Al Aviyah. We start off here by speaking about the Diba, the Dove, Ishas Potiphar tearing apart. You have to see this Kliyakar. It's just unbelievable. I should be able to see it on this side of my screen. Okay, listen, your mom is the only person I could see. Yeah, can I know how? There's a lot of people joining us, but no one else wants to open their cameras. Okay, that's okay, I'm used to it. I really am used to it. So this is just unbelievable. Okay, and again, Hashem arranged it perfectly because it's the parsha that begins the process of redemption, and the Kliyakar is also going to refer to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Vayavi Yosef esti basim ra'avim. V'chol ha'mikra lo metzinu lashon hava'a etzel hadiba. Oh, that's not what I want to tell you. Just joking. I know right away because I saw that earlier. By the way, my mikros gedolos is here. Everyone's there, right? I don't know if you could see that it's highlighted. This is where I want to teach you. I'm just using the screen. So I can screen share. Okay, one second. Here we go. This is what I want to teach you. Okay, b'medrash. Okay, I'll just tell you that the screen is I used it for here for like a blackboard. It says Yalkut Shimoni, but I'll tell you that Art School's Mikros Gudol says it's Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. I'm more prone to believe that Art School is correct. Okay, so ignore that. This is just so you can follow along with me. B'medrash. So Medrash Bereishis Rabbah Amru. The Chazal say, Al Pasuk, Ubiterim Yikrov Alehem. The Pasuk says that when the brothers see Yosef coming, they go to Dosan, and he goes to find them. And the Pasuk says, Ubiterim Yikrov Alehem. Before he even came close to them, they plotted to kill him. So before he even came close, they saw him approaching from afar. They already come up with a plot. What was the plot? Shashisu bo es hakilavim. So what animal now is being compared to, what animal are we learning now? The what? The dogs, okay? Shasisu bo eshekolavim, they set the dogs, they decide to set the dogs against it. V'tamo shel davar, why dogs? Lafisha chashavuhu lemotzi diba u'bal lashon hara. Because they suspected him, they thought that he was a person who was motzi diba, the Ubal Lashon Hara, who gave slanderous reports, and he was a master of Lashon Hara. But Amru Razal and Chazal say in the Gemara, on Maseches Pesachim Kuf Yud Ches, Kol HaMesaper Lashon Hara Ra'ui LaHashlicho LeKelavim. The Gemara says that anyone who speaks Lashon Hara, it is worthy to cast him out to the dogs, to come out to the dogs. So in the first dogma, Lashon Hara is compared to a dove, and that person is Mida Kenegan Mida Ra'ui, that a dove should tear him apart. And now Chazal tell us Beferish, anyone who speaks Lashon Hara, it is worthy to throw him to the dogs. Why? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, the first Pasuk in Mishpatim Perachov Gimel, Lo Tisa Shei Mashav, you should not bear a slanderous report. The Samachay in the Pasuk right before that says, the Kalv Tashlichunoso. The Kalv Tashlichunoso is the last Pasuk in Perak Chaf Beis of Shemos. Anshe Kodesh Tiyunli, Ubasa Basada Trefaloso Chedu, the Kalv Tashlichunoso. Holy men you shall be for me, and torn meat in the field you shall not eat, to the dogs you shall throw it. I believe it's Perak Chaf Beis, Pasuk Lamed Mishpatim. The last Pasuk of Perak Chaf Beis, the last words are, the Kalv Tashlichunoso. To the dogs you should throw it. And then the very next words in the Chumash and the Torah are Lo Tisa Shem Hashav. Do not bear a slanderous, a report of lies. So the juxtaposition of throw to the dogs. And do not accept Lashon Hara report, put right next to each other. So Chazal say, from here you learn that someone who speaks Lashon Hara, worthy to throw him to the dogs. V'tamo shel davar, and the reason for the matter is, Shekol ha-misaper Lashon Hara nidme kekelef. Anyone who speaks Lashon Hara resembles, behaves like, acts like a dog. Haminabeach v'choreitz b'lishono, that growls and barks and gnashes with its tongue. Is that a description of something, you know, we think we're so refined, we dress so nicely, we go out, we're so cultured, we're so advanced, we have so much in science, technology, community. Look how wonderful we are. Really? You speak Lashon Hara, you know what? You are like a dog, not you. A person, like a dog. a dog that growls and gnashes and barks its teeth. What's a chazal say? And therefore, call Masapra Lashonara Rui Lashlicha Lekalavim. Whoever speaks Lashonara is worthy to throw him to the dog, says he behaved like a dog. Lefichach, ah. And now I know it took me 6 weeks to get it. I say 6 weeks, it just means it was prepared for three classes ago, but we meet every other week. Velefichach Yisrael b'Mitzrayim shelo hayu b'hem lashon hara. And therefore, one of the ma'ilos we know of Klal Yisrael is that they did not speak lashon hara. There's two different teachings in the Midrash of what they did not do that merited redemption, their clothing, their names. So one of the teachings of Chazal, we learned it last year by Shlomis Bas Dibri. Amor, we went into the Medrash, that there were no Masapre Lashon Hara in Egypt. Lefichach Yisrael b'Mitzrayim shelo haya b'hem Lashon Hara. And therefore Israel in Egypt, that there was amongst them no speakers of slander. Kesiv is a reward. The Pasuk says, Uduchol b'nei Yisrael lo yachratz kelev l'shono. Ah, why in Egypt did they merit on the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and for all of Israel, a dog did not sharpen its tongue? It was a reward, since they in Egypt kept their speech naki, kasher, and yashar. They did not act like dogs. Therefore, on the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the dogs were not set against them. Yosef's brothers see him coming. What do they think? That set the dogs upon him, because he acted like a dog. It's so the opposite of how we like to view ourselves and see ourselves. As such refined, upstanding, presentable people. It's imagery that Chazal are teaching us that's very derogatory. It's very derogatory imagery. Nobody wants to think of themselves like a gnashing, barking, growling dog. That's what Lashon Hara is. The Gemara says that. Call Masap Lashon Hara, Rai Lashlicha L'Kalavim. Therefore, whoever speaks Lashon Hara, it's worthy to cast them to the dogs. Mida kenega mida, measure for measure. V'zeh shenemar nechodos Yona. And that's why the brothers say, Yaakov Yosef finds a man straying in the field, the angel Gavriel, and he's looking for his brothers, and the angel says, oh, I heard them saying they're going to Dasan. And Yosef goes to Dasan to find them. So Dasan is from the word das, like the law. Dalit tav. So what does it mean, Nechodos Yona? The Valkesh lo nichle daso, as Rashi quotes us on the Pasuk as well. They're looking for a legal pretext against him. Al pia Torah sher yerucha. They're looking for legal pretext, das, the law, because they judged him as chayav, because he spoke Lashon Hara about them. He said they're eating Eivir Min HaChai, they're being mezalzel the b'nei shvachos, and they are calling mezalzel b'nei shvachos, oh, and they're being inappropriate with the Canaanite women. They spoke Lashon Hara about him, so they convened a Beis Din, Dason Das, the law, to come up with, against him with a pretext of how, by law, he could be found guilty. They were going to go through the Torah, and they were going to go through the Halacha, they were going to go through the law, and they were going to say, this is what Yosef is guilty of, and because he's guilty, this is what he's chayef. And what did they find? So they went through the whole Torah, Apia Torah Shayrucha. They went through the Halacha, and they said, what's the din for somebody who speaks Lashon Hara? They said, oh, the din is like the Gemara says in Psachim, it's worthy to throw him to the dogs. Therefore, and they see him coming, Manjus Bereshus Rava says, what do they say? Let's throw him to the dogs. V'yesh Omim Shalakach Shisu Boha Kalavim. And there are those who say that that's why they set the dogs against him. Shayochal mimenu evir minachai. This is an unbelievable kliyakar. It's kliyakar to paraglam and zayin pasuk bris. It's a lengthy kliyakar, FYI. But this specific portion of it is, the rest of it's talking about different in yanim. You could look it up. And your makos kadosh as well. But this specific excerpt is so, so powerful. And the imagery is so violent. It's not something that meshes well with our senses, but Chazal is trying to tell us something very important. This is someone who speaks Lashon Hara. This is what we are akin to. This is what we have become, like a bear and a dog. A mida kenega mida. It's worth it that the bear should be set upon us. You're fixing your hair and your father's mourning. You spoke dibara, ani begar becha as a dove. And the brothers judged him, Al Piotara Shayrucha, says the Kliyakar. La Shlicha Kalavim, because that's the halacha. There are those who say that's why they set the dogs against him. He accused them of eating Eiver Minachai, limb from a live animal. Therefore, Mida Kenega Mida, they set the dogs against him to tear from him a limb from a live person, measure for measure, for what he spoke about them. L'shalim lo masha amar aleim, to pay him back what he said about them. Eich she'ochlu Eiver Minachai, how they ate from Eiver Minachai, and therefore they paskened, adin, the das, they paskened that the law is, their behavior was appropriate to do this to Yosef because of what he did to them. It's just, it's frightening. It's frightening. And it's sobering. And I think, never mind what that person said to me last night, but I think if we have this imagery in mind, it would really prevent us from speaking Lashon Hara. We don't like to think of ourselves as a clawing bear or as a barking, gnashing dog. We want to think that we are tsanua, refined, rachmanim, baishanim, and kol nechasadim yidin. Our speech has to match that. And if we have this imagery of these dangerous, violent animals, we're not doing anything wrong. A person has to behave like a person, not a bear. And a person has to behave like a person, not a dog. And they paskin that it was okay to do that to Yosef, because that's a halacha for someone who speaks Lashon Hara like he spoke Lashon Hara. Unbelievable. You know, they say a person who loses a significant amount of weight and who wanted to and is healthy, you know, you should keep a picture of how you used to look, so it will inspire you to maintain your health. So if we had a picture of a wild dog tearing apart its prey, I'm not talking about the domesticated cute little puppy that, you know, might be your pet. The wild dog, that there are wild dogs, that's a breed of dog, that travel in packs and tear apart their prey. If we had an image of a grizzly bear eating its prey, we would maybe think twice before uttering words from our mouth and realizing that we make ourselves on the level of such animals. It's frightening. It's frightening, and it's a very important lesson. And you see how the Torah teaches us through these narratives of what is expected of us and how we must behave. Okay, moving on. I was preparing for a different shiur yesterday, and I came across the following insight by Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky, which I put a little blue sticky in the sefer, because this also is an insight regarding Lashon Hara. Okay? So, in Parashat Shmos, Hashem appears to Moshe at the burning bush. Moshe doesn't want to go. Hashem says, I'm going to give you a few signs that you should give to the elders to prove that you are the leader and that I, Hashem, have sent you. So, the staff will turn to a snake. Moshe puts his hand in his bosom and it comes up with tzaras, because Rashi says, you grab the craft of the snake and speak in Lashon Hara, so he was stricken with tzaras, like Miriam will be, and the water will turn to blood. Okay. When the time comes to do the plague, the Pasuk says in Parshas Va'era, Ki yedaber lechem paro lemar, tnu lachem mofes. When Paro will speak to you, saying, so you say that the God of the Hebrews appeared to you, give us a sign. Give us a wonder. Amarta el Aharon, and you should say to Aaron, Kach es matcha, take your staff, hashlech lifnei paro, and throw it before paro, yehi letanin, it will become a serpent. Okay? By the burning bush, Hashem told Moshe, throw what's in your hand? Maza biyadcha, Moshe said, amata hashlech artzavi lenachash. When it comes time to actually do the sign, have you noticed, listen again, it's Perek Zayin Pasuk Tes for your reference, Zayin Tes in Shemos, V'amarta el Aharon, say to Aaron, Kach es matcha, take your staff, V'hashlech lifnei paro, and send it before paro, Yehi letanin, it will become a serpent. So by the burning bush, Hashem told Moshe to do it, but when the Maisa, the Metzias comes, Aaron is commanded to throw it to the ground, it becomes a serpent. Why? Why the switch? So Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky, Zichron of Vracha, explains as follows. When God told Moshe to instruct Aaron to turn the water of the Nile into blood, okay, Perek Zayin Pasuk Yotes, the first seven makos unfold in the sixth parsha, Rashi explains Moshe was not allowed to strike the river and protected him when he had been a baby in the basket. So we know that the first few plagues, Moshe could not do. He couldn't make the Nilus River water turn to blood. He couldn't strike the river to bring up the Tzfardea. And he couldn't strike the ground, the earth, to make it into Kinim. Since the Nilus protected him when he was a baby, he couldn't afflict the Nilus. And since the sand of Egypt hid the Mitzri, Vayitmeneu Bechol, and he kills the Egyptian, therefore he can't turn the sand into Kinim. So Aaron must do the first three Makos. But, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, when it comes to the Simon to prove to Paro that Elokei HaEvrim appeared Nikra Eleinu, why was it Aaron rather than Moshe who had to cast the rod before Paro and turn it into a snake? It's not one of the Makos. We understand he had to have a Karso Tov to the Nidos. He had to have a Karso Tov to the earth. But this is a staff to a snake. Why can't Moshe do it? By the burning bush, Moshe did it. When it comes to doing it before Paro, why does it have to be Aaron? When Hashem commissioned Moshe to deliver the Bnei Israel, Moshe said, "Lehem lo yaminu li v'lo yishmu b'koli." It's Perek Dal Pasuk Av Lasuk Sedra. "Lehem lo yaminu li v'lo yishmu b'koli ki yarmu lo nerei lach Hashem." They won't believe in me. They won't listen to me. They'll say God did not appear to you. God then told Moshe to cast down his rod and turn it into a snake. Hashem says, "Maza biyadcha, ma'atcha hashulicheu arza vayhi l'nachash." Rashi says there God chose this particular miracle. I mean, you know, we're so used to what we read in the Chumash, but imagine if your kid or your grandchild, you know, is playing in your front lawn in a beautiful fall day, and they're making a pile of leaves, and they come in with a stick, and they're like, "Bobby or Mommy, I found a stick." And you say, "Oh, wow." And they say, "Watch this." And they throw it to the ground in your kitchen, it becomes a snake. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's quite a mo-face. By the burning bush, why did Hashem choose that Moshe's staff should become a snake? So Rashi says that Hashem was displeased with Moshe. Why? He spoke Lashon Hara about the Israelites. He suspected that they would not believe in it. Hashem says, "You spoke Lashon Hara about my people. Tafas umnaso shal nachash." Rashi says he grabbed the craft of the snake, meaning the primordial serpent in the Garden of Eden who spoke Lashon Hara about Hashem, Kaviyachol. So Moshe, how could you speak Lashon Hara about my people? Take the stake, the staff, throw it to the ground, it becomes a snake because you spoke Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. How could you say they won't believe? The Gemara says, I was so excited when I found this. I was preparing for my shiurim yesterday for the week. No, I can't prepare for all my shiurim in one day, but I started preparing and I was praying for a different shiur. But listen to this. I hope you remember. We learned this Gemara inside. The Gemara says in Arachin, Tassayin Amar Beis, we learned the Gemara, with commentary from Rabbi Victor Miller, recently, in the past couple of months. The Gemara says at the end of days, remember, Rabbi Victor Miller says they'll put in a big play on the stage, yeah? Baruch Hashem. I see you nodding yes. All the animals will ask the snake, "The lion and the wolf kill for food. What do you gain by killing someone for your venom?" The snake will answer, "What gain does a person have when he harms someone with slander?" The snake, therefore, has become the symbol of Lashon Hara. We learned that Gemara with the commentary of Victor Miller. There'll be a big place for Victor Miller at the end of days. All the animals will be on stage, and they'll say to the snake, "These animals kill for food. These animals kill to protect their territory. These animals kill to defend their young. But what do you gain with your venom, Nachash?" And he will answer, "What gain does a person have when he kills someone with their slander?" And so the snake is a symbol of Lashon Hara. Going back to the question of why did Moshe have to throw the staff to the ground by the snare, but when it came to actually performing the miracle, he couldn't do it in front of Paro, and Aaron had to do it. Of course, once Moshe, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, received the divine reprimand, he did teshuvah. We know he did teshuvah because he accepted his commission and he went to free the Yidden. It wasn't like Yonah who ran away from Hashem. For 7 days he didn't want, but when Hashem finally became angry, he went. The Gemara says if a person committed a sin and did teshuvah, one is not allowed to remind him for having sinned. This is crazy, but he's quoting from Bava Metzia Nun Ches. We learned about it also. I can't make it up. We learned about it because that's Onas Dvar. We learned this in depth. I don't know if you remember. But the two Gemaras he quotes are Mamish Mamish Chazal that we focused on. One from Erechin 16b, the play at the end of days, when all the animals will say to the snake, "What do you gain?" And the snake will say, "What does a person gain from speaking Lashon Hara?" And the next Gemara, these are only two Gemara he quotes, you can look this up. Tversky and Chumash, page 123 through 124, Art School. The only two Gemara he quotes are Gemaras that we have focused on this season in Shir. Once Moshe received the divine reprimand, he did teshuvah. The Gemara says, if a person committed a sin and did teshuvah, bava metzia nunches aleph, one is not allowed to remind him of having sinned. Now we know why, we learned it inside, because it's part of onas dvarim, which we say in the tefillas al hadibur, we should be saved from kas, gaiva, onas dvarim, it's verbal oppression. So once Moshe did teshuvah, he went to free the Yidden, he's not allowed to be reminded of his past transgression. Was his past congestion. He didn't believe in the people. And he spoke Lashon Hara about them. For Moshe to have turned the rod into a snake would be a reminder of his previous transgression. The execution of this miracle, therefore, was delegated to Aaron. So, once Moshe is no longer a sinner, he's not speaking Lashon Hara about the people. He's not being Choshed B'Ksherim. So, at the time, he needed the lesson. And you turned the staff into a snake because you grabbed the craft of the snake. But once he accepts the mission and he is a chozer b'teshuva, part of onas dvarim is that you're not allowed to remind a sinner. Remember what you used to do. We learned the Gemara. Remember, you're not allowed to say, remember what your forefathers used to do. Remember what you used to do. And therefore, he can't be reminded of the sin of Lashon Hara. So he is not allowed to be the one to throw it down. If he would throw it down, it would remind him of when he spoke Lashon Hara. But now he's a chozer b'teshuva. Says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, what's the Musar Haskal? That should be a Musar Haskal. All of our learning has to be applied. Can't just be nice learning. It has to be things that we put into practice in our own lives. We should find that our avoda in Anyanei Shmiras HaLashon is changing us, is helping us be more sensitive, more kind, more self-aware, more aware of the feelings of others, more aware of what comes out of our mouth. The Torah is teaching us, as Rabbi Dr. Twersky, how sensitive we must be to another person's feelings with our words. If we know something we say, quote, even in jest, may evoke discomfort in another person, we should refrain from saying it. If we know something we say, even in jest, J-E-S-T, joke, mockery, joking, may evoke discomfort in another person, we should refrain from saying it. But Pasuk tells us, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, Acre 19:18, you should love for your fellow what you love for yourself. And the Gemara says that Hillel interpreted this to mean, do not do unto another what you would not want done to you. We should be considerate and sensitive to other people's feelings, just as we wish others to be considerate and sensitive to us. And who do we learn this for? From the Ribono Shel Olam. Because yes, Moshe needed to be taught a lesson. He needed to be taught a lesson. What was the lesson? Don't speak Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. A leader must believe in the people. You're not allowed to talk about them. So you are going to see the staff turn into a snake to remind you what you did. But once you're a chozer b'teshuva and you've accepted your mission, we don't want to put you in that position anymore. It would be onas dvarim to have Moshe re-perform the miracle to make him feel that he was a snake. By the way, in today's shiur, based totally on Torah sources, we're learning that Lashon Hara is compared to three animals. A bear, a dog, and a snake. None of those animals are kosher. They are all treif animals. They are all dangerous / poisonous animals that literally have the power to kill. So if this is what Chazal compare Lashon Hara to, what does that tell us about the view of Torah? To a Masapra Lashon Hara. We turn ourselves into a bear, a dog, and a snake. It's demeaning, it's degrading, and it's frightening to think of the power of words. Therefore, Moshe cannot do the miracle, even though it was a great miracle, that would show Hashem, it couldn't be for him to do. And therefore, we learn from here, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, a sensitive, if that's Hashem's sensitivity, to Moshe Rabbeinu's feelings, how sensitive we must be to the feelings of others in our speech and in our interaction. Okay, I'll tell you exactly where we're up to in the Sefer, because I have a sticky marking it. I'm on page 176. For your reference, we learn the Sefer Kunshas Chovas Hashmir, the teachings of the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, so we are on page 176, we're on the section of Ona'as Dvarim. It's funny, because the top of this page quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Nun Ches, which is Rabbi Dr. Twersky just quoted. So I couldn't orchestrate the shiur better than the Ribono Shel Olam, clearly. Okay. So let's just start from the beginning of the page, even though we're really in the middle of the first paragraph, so that we know where we're up to. Okay? Or Armusham, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Godo onas tvarim meonas mama. The verbal oppression is worse than financial oppression. So zen namar bo the erasa melokacha, v'zelenam lo namar bo the erasa. Because when it comes to verbal oppression, the Torah says you shall fear God. When it comes to financial oppression, it doesn't say you shall fear God. We already have a principle that wherever it says you shall fear God, it's because you think no one knows what I'm doing. You should know that Hashem knows what you're doing. So you think, oh, when I verbally oppress someone, I could say it was unintentional. I could say I didn't mean it. I meant to the Torah. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows that you meant to harm that person with your words. Furthermore, when it comes to Nas Devarim, you literally tear, you could kill a person, metaphysically. The other one is just money. You could always repay money. You can't repay a person's integrity. I don't know if anyone saw a couple of weeks ago in Mishpacha, maybe more than a couple of weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago in Mishpacha, maybe it was the Hanukkah edition. There was an article of someone who, did anyone see it? He went collecting for his sister's wedding. Did anyone see it? He lived in Eretz Yisrael and collecting abroad for his sister's wedding. His money was stolen and he accused a friend of taking the money. No, you didn't see? And it's a true story, and he ruined his friend's life, his whole life, every shirech, every job prospect, everywhere he went. He was accused of being a ganef, and the friend always denied it. Oh, it was unbelievable. At the end, it came out, but it was not this friend. It was a different fellow who stole, and this other fellow who was the thief was actually involved in demeaning the innocent person. And they went to Rav Yitzchak David Grossman, rabbi of... in the north, he established, he's known as the Disco Rabbi. His biography is amazing. If you didn't read it, I highly recommend. And Rav Yitzchak David Grossman brought them together, etc. But Rav Yitzchak David Grossman said you have a responsibility to publicize what you did. So that as part of the path to teshuva, you embarrass somebody else. You have to be embarrassed, so to speak. You should have the busha. You have to pop. And he said, how could I write this? My wife, my family, my job, how could I put this out there? He says, you ruined someone's decades of life. And you have to publicize the story also as a lesson to other people. And his life is mamash ruined by the false accusation that he was the thief, and he really was not the thief. And that's a perfect illustration. If you didn't read it, I don't know if you could still get it. It may have been the Chanukah Mishpacha, but it was very powerful and very disturbing. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. Zebu mamonu v'zebu gufo. When it comes to Ona'as Dvarim, it's a perfect example, actually. Maybe someone online will have read it and knows what I'm talking about. But it's a perfect example of what Ona'as Dvarim could do. It could literally destroy a person. The other one is been money. You could repay the money. You could always repay someone's money. But once you destroy a person's life, you can't put it back together again. Zena ton li hishavon, v'zelona ton li shavar. With one, you could restore, like the money. And the other one, you can't restore od arm b'gemara. Furthermore, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, the next afnun test, le'olam yehe adam zahir bonas ishto, shamitoch shedimasa mitzuya onasa krova. A person, a man, should always be very careful when it comes to verbal oppression against his wife, because a woman is more sensitive and emotional. Her tears are easily found. A woman cries easier, she just does. So Hashem made us as more sensitive, emotional beings. Rav Shamshon Frau Hirsch explains why. By the creation, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Chav Beis Chav Gimel, Rav Shamshon Frau Hirsch, his commentary to Chumash, explains that man was made dust from the earth. A woman was made from another feeling, living human being. So beautiful. If you have a refresh at home, you could look up. It's so beautiful. It says, a man was made from dust from the earth, afra min adama. A woman was already created from a living being, feeling human being. She has a greater degree of sensitivity, he says, maturity, feeling, and emotion, stemming all the way back from creation. But it means that her tears are more easily found. You have to be very careful when it comes to her ona. Od armu, furthermore, the Gemara says, kol ha-sha'arim ninalim chutz mishare ona. All the gates are locked, except for the gates of verbal oppression. So when a person who is verbally oppressed cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hinei Hashem Nitzav Al Chomos Anach V'yado Anach, Hashem is standing on the plumb line, and in his hand is a like a lever. In his hand, the Gemara says it's a play on words. He's hoarding the means to collect the payment from those who oppress others. Hashem is standing on the wall in strict judgment of your oppression and abuse. And in his hand, he is holding the means to collect payment from those who oppress others. Okay? So next time, I'm marking where we are, middle of page 176. I think that today's share with the imagery that the Torah portrays for us of a speaker of Lashon Hara is frightening, sobering, important, and relevant. That if, before we open our mouths, we think of how a bear tears its prey, a dog gnashes, growls, and attacks, and a snake kills with its poison. And these three images are brought by the Torah. And maybe we would have in mind before we speak those words, do we want to be a human being or do we want to be an animal? And how careful we have to be to make sure we choose the latter. But Salam Elokim, Nivra HaAdam, should always strive to be B'makom She'ein Anashim Hishtado Lios Ish. So Baruch Shalom should help us with tremendous tiyas to the Shmaya. Be careful with your compliments. You never know where it's going to lead. If you missed the very beginning of the Shirik, listen online. We should have the Chachma, Bina, and Das. But the words that come out of our mouth should be positive, complimentary, and build other people up. And then Be'ezer Hashem, Mida Kenega Mida, the Baruch Shalom will build up our nation. Thank you so much, everybody. I wish you a day of Besuros, Tovos, and Si'ata D'Shmaya. And I look forward to continuing next time. Kol Tov, and thank you so much to all.